We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time to talk all things Dirty Birds. It's Falcons Flyover. John Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And we're back in the Kia Studios, halfway home with you on a Tuesday night. Chuckery in the house. 404-741-0929 is the phone line, and Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to interact with the show. It is our nightly look at all things Atlanta Falcons here as we're live from the Kia Studios with you here on a wet, rainy, watch how you're driving Tuesday out there. We roll along here. So a couple of things to get into tonight. So first of all, and by the way, Jarvis, I did not know who this girl was, this Diana Russini. I guess she's from ESPN. My goodness. Whew. Hold on. Let's everybody catch your breath for just a second. Whew. Okay. So she
I liked Woody.
Oh, hello. Looking up your name and address there. She had tweeted out earlier.
Jarvis, it's so wet you can barely get it off.
Oh, wow. Okay. I mean, that makes sense to me. I mean, I don't know about the rest of our listeners, but it makes perfect sense to me. So if you want to follow her, by the way, she is at Diana, I guess. D-I-A-N-N-A-E-S-P-N. D-I-A-N-N-A-E-S-P-N. Sources with the Atlanta Falcons are confident that they will agree to a long-term contract extension with Julio Jones before training camp. Jones has 2 years remaining on his current contract. Now, of course, no details or anything put out there, but, you know, that basically is what we've all expected and been hearing, is that that would be the easiest of the deals to get done. If there's three main deals, well, there she is right now. Now she's right there on TV. I'm watching her up on ESPN right now. Holy cow. Small world, right? So anyway, of the three main deals, Grady, Debo, Julio, that was going to be the easiest one because he's got the contract. It's a matter of reorganizing some money, add a little bit to it, all that good kind of stuff, and make him, you know, a high-paid NFL wide receiver. That was pretty cut and dry. It's the Debo or Grady deal, which I think they need to get one of those done, too, by the time training camp hits. I don't know if they're going to have that or not, but they definitely need it. They definitely need to get one of those deals done and just kind of know going forward what they've got in place, and have one of those guys locked up to figure out the money moving forward. So I expect that deal will get done here pretty quickly. Arthur has made it. By the way, have you seen Arthur lately in some of the comments that he's been making? We'll have to find some of those clips. But he's pretty much guaranteed Debo, Keanu, Grady, who everybody's going to be a Falcon for life. Have you seen that? Where he's been kind of like going out and saying, oh, yeah, these guys are going to be Falcons for life. Can they sign everybody? Because he's got unless the salary cap has got a major increase going into it, he's signing everybody, according to him, for life. I mean, God bless him if he does. I'm not mad. Just don't know if that's reality or not, but he's got everybody getting signed for life. Julio's going to be a Falcon for life. Debo's a Falcon for life. Grady's a Falcon for life. Yeah, there she is. Boy, she's a good-looking woman, Jarvis. Anyway, everybody's going to be a Falcon for life. That's great. I mean, I got no problem with that. I just don't know what kind of reality or anything like that can happen with all that. I mean, it's hard to sign all of those guys. But I expect that deal will get done. So, you know, looking defensively at this team and where they need to improve and what they need to do to become one of the better defenses in the NFL, there are two things that I think this team really needs to get back in the business of. Obviously, one is sacking the quarterback. They need to get the quarterback on the ground, and especially once you get the lead and protecting lead. The other thing is creating turnovers as well. Now, it's two things that they were not great at last year, is going in and creating turnovers. In fact, they only recovered four fumbles on the entire year. They only caused 8 fumbles to start with, only recovered 4. They only had 19 turnovers total. Now, they were 9th in the league in interceptions at 15, which isn't bad, you know, but then again, when you don't have any pass rush and everybody can just huck it around, then that makes it, you know, more opportunity for you because you can't sack quarterback, he's throwing it out there. But the two target numbers for me this year in talking about the Falcons' defense, one is I want them to be at 44 sacks. That needs to be the magic number. That will get you into the top 10, top 8. You know, that will put you somewhere, you know, 8 to 10 as far as where you'll be in the league. If you're top 10 in sacks, you should probably be a playoff team. You know, Chiefs led the league last year, then Steelers, then Bears, Vikings. Steelers and Chiefs actually tied. Bears, Vikings, Arizona, the Saints, Redskins. Now, part of it is, you know, when you know, if you can sack the quarterback, and especially when you have the lead, you know, and get your offense back out on the field, makes such a difference for your team and just kind of such a gut punch to the other team, you know, especially when those teams have to drop back and pass all the time. Falcons last year, they finished with 37 sacks. That was tied for 22nd in the NFL with the Cleveland Browns, among others. But listen, it's not a huge number that they have to increase by. And it doesn't sound like much. Well, that's only, you know, 7 more sacks. Yeah, but in the world of the NFL, 7 sacks can be a big difference and can be a huge number. You know, look, last year you got 12 sacks out of Tack and Vic, right? They combined for 12, 7 and 5, right? If you added 7 more and they were at 19, isn't that a lot more of the number that we expect them to be at, right? I mean, let's say if we add a few more, you know, let's say we add 4 more to Tack and put him at 11, and we add 3 more to Vic Beasley and he's at 8. That 11 and 8 number looks drastically different than that 7 and 5 number does, doesn't it? Because now at least I got one guy in double digits and one guy that's pretty darn close. So, yeah, I mean, only 7 sacks, and I say only, yeah, that's a big number in the NFL. You see the difference between being 8th and 22nd, you know, 7 sacks. So, it doesn't take a whole lot more, but this goes back to that number that we've put up there about you need Vic and Tack to be 20 sacks combined. If they're 20 sacks combined, then this team probably gets into the 40s because they'll get 5 to 7 somewhere out of Grady. They'll get 4 or 5 out of Jack Crawford. They'll get 4 maybe out of Adrian Claiborne. And there'll be a mix of guys that they'll just rack up some here and there. Your safety will get one. A corner will get one on a blitz. Debo will grab a couple. There'll be, you know, Davison will grab a couple. There'll be some guys that will clean up the junk and the mess. So 44 for me would be the number to get to when you talk about the number of sacks. Now, from a turnover standpoint, we said 15 interceptions, 4 recovered fumbles, 19 turnovers for this team. That number to me has to drastically go up. They need to be probably somewhere in that 25 to 27 range for turnovers. That'll put you among some of the tops, you know, in the league. When the opportunities are there, they have to take advantage. When the ball is thrown right at Desmond Trufant, he needs to catch it. He needs to catch the football when it's thrown at him. So I need at least 25 turnovers out of this team. 26, 27 would be better, but give me at least 25 turnovers. And again, you say, well, it's only 6. Yeah, those 6 turnovers would have meant a lot last year. The 1 turnover against Cincinnati would have gotten you a victory against them. That would have won the game. So whether it's fumbles, interceptions, what have you, I think they need to create more fumbles. They need to create more turnovers. So 44 sacks and 25 turnovers. Watch for those to be the two magic numbers that if the Falcons can get to both of those numbers, then they can be one of the top defenses in the NFL. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 99 The Game as we're going through our Falcons flyover tonight. So Matt Ryan did a little sit-down Q&A And he did it with Matthew Tabeek of AtlantaFalcons.com. And they actually had Dirk Cutter, and they had Mike Mularkey, and they had Matt. And they just did a little bit of rapid fire of Q&A. Let me let you hear a little bit of that and what Matt had to say about this upcoming season.
All right, Matty Ice. Falcons offense.
Dynamic.
2019.
Champs.
Julio Jones.
The best.
Good stuff. All right, so.
That was easy, man.
All
right. Mine were easy.
Well, you heard the most important one. 2019. Because these were one word, like word association things that he asked. Give me one word answers. Champs. Now, part of that is being NFC South champs. I want to think that part of that is hoisting Lombardi Trophy, right? This team knows that it's good. This team knows that they have the ability to be one of the best teams in the NFL. Need to take advantage of it. Need to take advantage of getting it all together this year. This is what you want this year. Should be a dynamic offense. We've talked before on this show as recently as, a weekend or two ago, that I think it's very possible Matt Ryan could have his best year ever as Atlanta Falcon. I'm talking he's been an MVP. Two of the last 3 years, he's been 4,900-plus yards. Two of the last 3 years, he's been 35 or more touchdowns. He's had a 35 and a 38 touchdown season. And he did kind of have a season in between that wasn't great. That was a 4,520 touchdown season for Matt. But two of his last 3 years, which also includes an MVP, have been terrific. You give him a good solid running game. Freeman stays healthy. This offensive line should be improved. Another year of Ridley. Maybe Sanu's last year. Allison. An up-and-coming, a tight end that had a real good kind of breakout all-pro or Pro Bowl year last year. See him continue to build. Not necessarily build from a numbers standpoint, but certainly the trust factor that Matt Ryan and Austin Hooper have with one another. I don't think it's out of the question to think that Matt Ryan can throw for 5,000 yards and Matt Ryan can throw close to 40 touchdowns. Matt Ryan's been within 70 yards of that number over the last couple of years anyway. So I fully believe that he could put up those kinds of numbers. Because the reality is, guys, is that they need to run the football effectively, but as long as you have Matt Ryan and Calvin Ridley and Julio Jones and Austin Hooper, they are a pass-first team because that's what the NFL by and large is. By and large, the NFL is you got to huck it around first. That's why you've got Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady and Pat Mahomes and all that. You have to huck it around in the NFL. All right, when we get back, let's get to That's Life. I got two things. One is I found a reason to attend Harvard Business School, as if they were going to let me in anyway. And secondly, I went ahead and scheduled something for this weekend. You want to talk about being open and honest? I went and scheduled something this weekend, and I haven't told Jarvis or Junkyard or anybody else about all this. We'll get to all that next. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio, 929 The Game. Sports Radio, 92 in the Game, back in the Kia Studios. Chuck Rea in the house. Hey, you all know what time it is.
That's life.
For last day of the week. At night, I should say. I've got radio four more days, so don't worry. I've got 3 days with Mike and then Hugh and I on Saturday morning, Jarvis. It's me and Hugh Saturday morning, 9 to noon, baby. Woo! And then all next week, baby, me and my spiritual advisor, Hugh Douglas. 5 days worth, because I'm leaving out Saturday morning, so I will not be here on the 29th. So, all right, we got a couple things to get to. All right, so let me get this one story out of the way first, because this was pretty cool that I saw. Finally, a reason, Jarvis, for me to go to Harvard Business School. Harvard Business School students are about to get a new class, and it's called Business of Sports and Entertainment. You heard me right. Business of Sports and Entertainment. They will study separately the WWE, The Rock, LeBron James, and more. Harvard Business School will offer a case study on the World Wrestling Entertainment Group. World Wrestling, the old WWF. World Wrestling Entertainment. There's also going to be other case studies done. Disney Studios, Beyonce, the American Ballet, The Rock. This is great. I mean, finally a class that I could probably go to Harvard and actually get an A in. Now, there is a lot to be learned. Listen, there's no denying how popular Dwayne Johnson is. You know what I saw? I think I'm right on this. Let me see. What is the? I don't want to get the number wrong. As far as what his Instagram following is. Do you know how many followers The Rock has on Instagram, Jarvis? Do you have any idea? 1 million? The Rock has, are you ready? 146 million followers on Instagram. 146 million followers on Instagram. He's made the most money in Hollywood. And look, say what you will about wrestling and all that good kind of stuff. There is no denying that Vince McMahon, who's a billionaire, and by the way, they're about to be on regular Fox TV. And The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin and his brand and all the guys that have branched out and become, you know, popular throughout the entertainment world. No doubt about the fact that they've run a massively successful organization. You can say, it's that wrestling stuff. Yeah, well, it's billions and billions of dollars. McMahon is worth, I think, $3.3 billion, by the way. He's, I think, in the top 50 of the richest guys or something like that. He's worth a crap ton. So, yeah, this is pretty awesome that they're going to run this at Harvard Business School. And so if you want to learn about The Rock, want to learn about WWE, there you go. There's your choice. Now, the next story. And I didn't prep Jarvis on this one. And maybe we'll see. Is our guy, you think our guy Junkyard might be listening out there? We'll see if Junkyard's listening out there because he may want to comment on this. So I've been thinking about this. And boy, you talk about like I'm putting my business out on Front Street, Jarvis. I've been thinking about doing this for a while. Okay? And now that I've kind of leaned down some and I'm dieting down and losing weight and all that kind of stuff, and I'm going to be going on vacation here for the week of 4th of July. So I'll work next Friday and then I'm gone and not going to be back until like July 7th. So be gone that whole week. We go down to Fort Myers and see my folks and do all that. My daughter and I head down there for that week during the summertime. So I've been wanting to do this. And I've really kind of changed my diet habits. I don't eat nearly the kind of red meat that I used to. And even when I eat red meat, I try to eat leaner red meats, top sirloins. You know, if I eat ground beef, like the 93 lean ground beef and stuff like that. So I've looked at this place before in Roswell. And this place is literally like 3 minutes from where I live. It's all these office parks by this elementary and middle school out there. So Jarvis, I have scheduled... And you got to do it. You do it in back-to-back days, 2 days. I've scheduled for Saturday after we're done on radio, and for Sunday morning, the earliest appointment that they have, I'm going to get a colon cleanse done. The doctor had said, look, when you come the first time, it's going to be a little bit weird since you haven't done it, and that's why they recommend that you do it twice. And you can do it back-to-back days like that. She said it's not a problem. You can do it back-to-back days like that. Oh, is that our guy? Is our guy? Oh, wait, let's see. Junkyard out in Midtown. Good evening to you, Junkyard.
The Junkyard is in the building tonight. What's going on, Chuckery? So you're trying to get the whole thing, huh?
Well, listen. So, you know, Junkyard, I've been thinking about doing this for a while. And now that, you know, I'm down about 60 pounds and all that, I want to go ahead and get a cleanse done. Now, I've looked at it before, and it's not that expensive. It's honestly, it's like $100 total for both of them. They have a special going. They got a special going. You know, you can get it on the whole for right now. So they have a special going. Yeah, they got a $99 for total for both visits. Normally, it's $75 for one, but if you do two of them, she'll give them to you for $99. So you get like a whole $24 off or whatever. Anyway. So Junkyard, I've been thinking about doing this and I went ahead and scheduled it. Now, the thing is that you can't do any prescription meds afterward. if you drink alcohol, it's going to, she said, it's going to really intensify. So she said, I would suggest not drinking alcohol. And I pretty much have to fast. Well, I shouldn't say that. I have to fast a few hours before. But then, like, I can only for 24 hours, she said, for only 24 hours after, because she said you're really going to upset your system once it gets cleaned out, I have to eat basically, like, cooked vegetables, not raw, okay? Like, cooked vegetables, and there are certain vegetables you can't eat. I have to watch, like, not eating fruits, and mostly, like, broth and stuff like that. It's a very restrictive diet for that 24 hours after. She said you'll screw up your system if you get it all cleansed out and eat wrong. So what do you think, Junkyard? Saturday afternoon at 1:30, 10 o'clock Sunday morning, Chuckery's going to go get colon cleansed out.
The Junkyard, I think you should do it, because the Junkyard is always looking for ways to slim, lean it on out. And getting that colon cleansed, that'll lean you all the way out.
Do you have any idea? I don't know this answer. How many pounds you think I'll lose by them flushing my colon out?
The Junkyard, I think you lose about 5 pounds.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking like 5 to 7 pounds, because I've never done this, and I've been a big red meat eater. And you know, without getting too graphic and detailed and stuff like that, I think I'll feel a lot better getting cleansed out. You know, I mean, my, how do I say, Junkyard? My bathroom habits have been different now that I've eating healthy and eating cleaner. My bathroom habits are a lot different than what they used to, to put it that way.
The Junkyard thinks you don't go to the bathroom that often when you're starting to eat a little bit better.
That's true. Yeah, you don't have to go as often, and when you go, it's a lot more solid. And that's and what I've read is that the way you know that you're eating right and the way that your digestive system is functioning good is if it's a much more solid, lengthy stool that you have versus like the runs or anything like that. If it's solid and lengthy, that means that's a good thing.
Yeah, the Junkyard, I think you should go ahead with it, man, because as a matter of fact, I think the Junkyard need to get one too.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
This may sound weird, Chuck. Stay with me.
Yes.
I want to see what comes out.
Okay. Listen, there may be a kid in there. I don't know. There's you know, there could be a lot of things. I will guarantee you there's a farm animal or two. I know that. I mean, like, and I don't mean that in a weird way, but I've eaten so many dead animals in my life. There's probably going to be something that's going to come out that you don't want to know about. But you know,
I may think that you may actually find death in my colon.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
like actual death.
I mean, listen, back in my Buckhead heydays, if I'd given you a urine sample, there would have been an olive in it, okay? I mean, so that I can promise you. But, you know, the funny thing is, Junkyard, I'm not, like, really scared of the idea of it. The idea doesn't freak me out. I'm kind of looking forward to, like you said, seeing what comes out and getting cleansed out and just kind of, now that I'm kind of, you know, I've lost 60 pounds and I'm looking good and feeling good, let me flush everything out of my system and see where it gets me. And so I'm not even, like, afraid or nervous about the process. Now, that doesn't mean I want somebody kind of doing a lot of work to help me out, you know, whatever like that. But, you know, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. I don't want to be in stirrups and you know, like I'm giving birth or something like that, but I'm sure that there's a very professional process, Junkyard, to handling all this. But like I said, I'm not nervous or anything like that by the idea of going and getting it. I'm actually looking forward to. Now, I was a little bit caught off guard about doing it 2 days in a row, but it's like, all right, well, if that's the thing to do and the doctor says what you're supposed to do, then I'll go ahead and do it for 2 days in a row and we'll really get it flushed out.
The Junkyard, I got a question for you before I leave, Chucker. You know, it's almost that time for me to going on back to driving this Uber.
Yep.
So you're not tripping off the tubes and stuff that they may have to.
Well, listen, I'm sure once they sit me down and they say, okay, thank you, Junkyard. I'm I'm sure that once they sit me down and the reality of here comes the tube and, you know, here comes the vacuum cleaner to suck you out, you know, I'm sure once she wheels in the shop vac, then the reality of the shop vac in front of me that says, you know, Craftsman on it. I'm sure when I see that Home Depot logo on the side of that, you know, vacuum cleaner will probably freak me out a little bit. But, you know, until then, no. And that's why she said to come back 2 days in a row, because you're not going to be as relaxed. She said you're not going to be as relaxed out there. So, yeah, I don't try to touch anything down there. That's kind of one of those off-limits things. Yeah, so Chuck Reed's going to go Saturday and Sunday and get his colon cleansed and see what that does. Should be interesting. I'll have all the crappy details for you when we get back from all of it. All right. Yeah. Whew. I tell you. You never know what'll come out of my mouth. Anyway, when we get back, why is it that as much as we condemn bad behavior, we love it? The latest example being LeVar Ball. We're going to break all that down next. Sounds like a crappy situation to me, but we'll talk about it next. Chuck Reed in the Key Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back in the Key Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chuck Reed in the house, hanging out with you here on a Tuesday night. Haven't seen. I don't know if it's raining outside or not. We're supposed to get pop-up showers kind of like all night long. The game hasn't been delayed in Cobb County, so I guess we're okay. Braves are getting delayed, though, because they're down 8-0. No shock. It's not been good pitching all the way around. Hey, Hawks fans, join 92.9 The Game. And the Atlanta Hawks is coming Thursday. State Farm Arena starting at 7 o'clock for the 2019 Atlanta Hawks draft party. Mike Conti and Andy Bunker will be broadcasting. I think Sparty's going to be there too, DeSean Tate. Going to be broadcasting live from 7 to 10, breaking down the 2019 NBA draft. Head over to State Farm Arena for the 2019 Atlanta Hawks draft party. Space is limited, so get your tickets now. For event ticket info, go to 929thegame.com/events. 404-741-0929. Phone line, Solomon Bros. Diamond text line. At JMCH316, at JMCH316. That is the best way to follow along with the show and be a part of it. You can tweet me. Jarvis is at JarvisD90. So that's always the best way if you want to be a part of the show. We'll get to our NFL No Huddle at the top of the hour. But, you know, we've been talking about lately, whether through social media or on TV, about bad behavior and how we're just like so addicted to that culture. We talked about the Bill Cosby tweet, not the Father's Day thing. Orenthal is now on Twitter and he's put out a few tweets. He's talking about Kris Jenner. He's thanking. Did you see he tweeted out about fantasy football today, by the way? He tweeted out about fantasy football, about taking Mahomes number one overall. So now he's getting into the fantasy football business too. So there's lots of that. Well, on what's the name of that show? Is it First Take or Hot Take or whatever it's called? That's the, what is it, Max Keller? Is it, no, what's his name? Max Kellerman and Stephen A. Smith with the gorgeous Molly Queerum as the host. Of course, they had LeVar Ball on to react to everything that has gone on with his son being traded and the Lakers' dysfunction and all this kind of stuff. But there was an awkward moment that LeVar had with Molly Queerum. Listen to this clip.
Go ahead, LeVar, before I get back to him.
LeVar, can I switch gears with you? Because I have a question here.
You can switch gears with me anytime.
Okay. Let's stay focused here.
Okay. So, and you know, Stephen A., and by the way, if you see the look on Max Kellerman's face, I mean, it's kind of priceless, too. He's got that. By the way, does he not have one of the most punchable faces going in today's world? I would like to just walk up to him, say hi, say thanks for all you do, and punch him right in the face just because his face is that punchable. So anyway, that aside, you know, neither one of those guys really stuck up for her, and she had to kind of almost defend herself. Well, now it's become, you know, a whole big thing. And people are like, well, this is what happens when you have LeVar on. And yeah, they're right. This is what happens when you have LeVar Ball on, whether it's the Christine Leahy thing. Okay? Now, personally with Christine Leahy, I don't like the fact that they made Christine Leahy a victim. She wasn't a victim in all that. Okay? But they made her seem like she was some kind of victim. Okay? I don't have a problem with Christine Leahy being a hater. Just let's call it a hater. Okay? And she's got her points. He's got his points. I get all that. But she wasn't a victim. But anyway. But this is what happens when you put people on. So it's funny because on one hand, everybody keeps saying, well, why do you keep putting LeVar on? And why would you follow Orenthal? Because that's what our society embraces. We embrace the train wreck mentality of our society. And without getting into too much psychobabble, you know, I think part of it is that it makes us feel better when we look at people who are completely more dysfunctional than we are in a lot of ways. I think there's some of that. And I think we like seeing how far people will push boundaries and how far somebody's willing to go. Look, everybody wants OJ. Everybody that follows OJ on Twitter is following for one reason and one reason only. Why is that? Why is everybody, why are 600, let me see, what's the latest count here? What's Orenthal's latest Twitter following? 735,000 followers for a guy who has tweeted four times, okay? And he's got eight people that he's following, okay? Why is every one of those 735,000 people following OJ? For the same reason I am. One of these nights, he's going to slip, and he's going to tell everybody, I killed her. Now, not the fake accounts. He's going to tell everybody he killed her. That's what we're hoping for. We want the dysfunction and the train wreck mentality. As much as everybody gets angry and frustrated by LeVar Ball, everybody watches him. Everybody has watched that clip. I didn't watch the show, but has everybody seen the clip with Molly Queerum, haven't they? Everybody has seen it. Everybody knows exactly what I'm talking about when I say LeVar Ball and Molly Queerum and exactly what happened. Forget everything else. Forget whether or not he has a point or doesn't have a point. That train wreck mentality, as much as we keep wanting to say that we need to run from it, we need to change and things like that, we completely embrace it. It's no different than the Atlanta roads, right? There can be a wreck on the other side of I-75 and eight lanes of traffic going the opposite direction will stop because they want to see what's going on. Because they want to see the train wreck mentality of it. It's what people will do. You see something, you see a burning building, you want to stop and watch. Why is that building burning? It's just natural and instinctive. It's hard to cut the cord on stuff like that because, let's face it, take that show. What, that's called First Take, Jarvis? Okay. Is there any real reason to watch or pay attention to First Take other than for things like, what's LeVar Ball going to say? I understand. You may like Stephen A. Smith, okay, and his personality and all that. Do you really go to Stephen A. Smith to get your sports knowledge? This is the guy that didn't know Hunter Henry was on IR for the year and was talking about him playing in the playoff game against New England, what kind of contributions he could make, and he'd been on IR the entire season. Okay? So, no matter what they tell you and it is raining at SunTrust Park now. I'm just seeing the video. It's already 8-0 in the seventh, though, and the bases are loaded with two outs. So, good luck with all that. And then Cano hits one to short. That should end the inning, and it does. So there you go. They didn't do any further damage out of all of it. There's no reason to watch First Take or be interested in that show other than for the train wreck mentality of when a LeVar Ball comes on or something like that. That's the truth, is that there's no reason to pay attention to that show. You're not going to get informed opinions. You're not going to get very intelligent sports talk. Listen, you ain't getting it here. I get that. Don't worry. I know my place. I'm not knocking Stephen A. Smith's hustle. I'm not knocking Max Kellerman's hustle. I'm certainly not knocking Molly Queerum's hustle. God bless them, and they have a platform and a forum, and they make lots of money and lots of fame and celebrity and everything like that. I'm not going to knock it. Can't knock Skip Bayless. You may not like him, but you can't knock the hustle for all of it. But you go into it understanding I'm not going to get anything productive out of it. And especially when LeVar Ball is the one that's on TV and talking. And it's the same thing with OJ on Twitter. There's nothing, there is literally zero productive reason for 735,000 people to follow OJ. You know he's going to have millions of followers, right? Like, by fall, he'll have 2.5 million people. And they're all there for one reason. What's he going to say? Is he going to finally say what we all believe? And you know what, Jarvis? He gets drunk enough, and he is arrogant enough. He is very arrogant. Anybody he's very bright. He's very smart. He's been a very smart businessman. He knew how to capitalize on his fame and celebrity at a time when a lot of guys didn't know how to do that. And frankly, a lot of black athletes didn't know how to do that. He found a way to do it. He's not dumb, but he's also very arrogant, and people are waiting for that moment. Same thing with LeVar Ball. You wait for that moment. So we may hate it, but by God, we embrace it and we love it. And listen, I'm following OJ. You know why I'm following OJ? I want him in a drunken stupor one night to go off and go ahead and say what we all know. All right, where we stand in my fricky voice, where we stand on Atlanta United and where they're at right now. They were in a rain delay. It's all coming up next. Chuck Green, the Key Studio, Sports Radio 910 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.